to relate to Tracy Lee's, you know, God will heal us even as a church. You know, we're a body. So if you look at your hands, maybe you'll have a scratch, or the kids now left, but they have many on their knees, you know. But the point is, the picture I'm seeing is that God will, their body will heal himself as well. You know, as you get a scratch or a cut, maybe they will form a little roofie or something, and then in time it will heal. You know, many times, most times we don't have to do anything, and that healing will come, and God will make it new. And if you, all we are mostly adults sitting here this morning, grown-ups, we will know how many times we got hurt. But then God will come and he will make it new. He will restore it. And that's why we can look at our hands or many places, you know, the kids, those of us who have kids, they fall, they get hurt. But in 6 months' time, the scratches are gone. So I just want to, I really agree with that. And then definitely, Lord, I agree with you as well. You know that when we are in God's, under his hand, in his purpose and things like that, and I just have to say it, I strongly believe that where we are right now is exactly where we should be. And you know, I also want to say, I've got this in my heart, I've got a hunger, you know, to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit between us, you know. And I've got so much confirmation. Some lady emailed me in small group, and in our, the men's small group in the past week, you know, I saw, you know, people laying hands on each other, getting filled with the Spirit, praying for each other, and that's a blessing, you know. It's exactly where I feel God and the Holy Spirit wants us to be, you know. So this is something special, and I'll share what I've written down here. I was still 50-50 if I were going to share it or not, but you know, I just want to testify on that I feel I'm at a place, you know, where that place of a first love with the Lord. You know, I really enjoy my relationship with him so much. You know, and I was trying to think of an analogy or something, and the only one I could think of is, you know, and this is the bit where I was, you know, of a man and male and stuff to share these things, but, you know, when I was 25 and I met my wife, you know, you married people will know that feeling. That was the time, the other things in life were still there, but it's not as important as seeing that person. You know, being with that person, talking to that person, and you would know, we could just talk for hours, things that make sense, things that make no sense. It was okay. And you know, that's that heart that we have with our Creator, with God through the, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you know. And I heard a song in our small group that the facilitator played for us, and I thank God for YouTube and these things, and I went to listen it probably 10 or 20 times this over the weekend, and it was such a blessing, you know, because I just wanted to listen over and over to those words of praise and worship, because I could just relate so much to it. It was just so much in my heart, and it was so much just, you know, that you sometimes just want to shout something from the rooftop. Sometimes you just want to say something and proclaim something. So, you know, I really feel, and I'm excited that, you know, and I'm going to say it to us, and that's where I say I'm not in control yet, you know, that I trust that the ministry this morning, even afterwards, will carry more weight than my notes or scriptures or what I have here. Because I sense and I feel that, you know, God wants us to stand back a little bit and let the Holy Spirit do the ministry, that he does the moving. And I had it in my heart, and I thought, no, give an opportunity to share. And you know, we got those two words, and it's perfectly in line, I believe, with my heart and where we are at. So praise God. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that we can be here together as your church, Lord God, as your sons and daughters, Lord God. And Father, no matter how many times we fall, Lord God, that you heal us, Father, that you make us new again, Lord God. Father, thank you that we are not just living here on this earth for 50 or 80 or how many years, Lord God, but that you have purpose for us, Lord God, that we are a body here, and this morning we see people hand out things and saying things, and we know, Lord God, as your church, we come together here, and that is your plan, Lord God. This is your eternal plan to reach this lost humankind, Lord God, people that's not close to you, Lord God. Thank you that we have a part to play, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we are not religious, Lord God, that we don't just come here and like robots and go home, Lord. But that you can speak and minister through anyone here that is filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Or even if someone were not, then you can still use that person, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you can make a donkey talk, Lord God, if you want to, Lord God. Father, and it's all because you love us so much, Lord God. Thank you that we can be here this morning. And yes, Lord God, just come and open our hearts, Lord God, and whatever is inside it, Lord, that it can come out, Lord, and that you can deal with that, Lord God, and that you can do the ministry here, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord God, that's so true, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord God. That, Lord, I know all of us are so busy and we're running around so much, Lord God, but Father, that we will just somehow kill ourselves in a context, Lord God, that we can just live with you, Lord God, our own wills or minds, Lord God, that we can take out this mind sometimes, Lord God, and just be in love with you again, Lord, and just talk to you, Lord God, in prayer, Lord God, and that we can have fellowship with you, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you will do something in our hearts, Lord. If there's heart here this morning that is hard, Lord God, or hurt, or whatever it might be, Father, that you might bring the healing, Lord God. And Lord God, those barriers, Lord God, or whatever the devil is trying to bring between us and you, Lord God, Lord, that it will dissolve, Lord God, that it will go away. That we can be in your presence here this morning, Lord God. And Lord, that we're not just coming to church for the sake of coming to church, Lord, but that we will be transformed, Lord God, and renewed, Lord God, and that we can leave with a song in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Who of you received the little rock this morning? It's not to throw me if I say nonsense, okay? There's something we want to really, really encourage you guys to come and do Foundation 1 and 2. If you can't make it this round, maybe come and do it next time. You know, you need little rocks when you throw a foundation. Thanks, Prisca. In the natural to build on. You can just put it here. You need those rocks. And in a spiritual foundation, you need it as well. And that's where Foundation 1 comes. And it talks about salvation and the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and things like that. And on the second part, it's about shofar. Who are we? What does our name mean? Where do we submit? How does things work? How do our structures work and stuff like that? So I really want to encourage you to take the time. We scheduled it for Wednesday so that it's not another meeting. I know many of we are so busy. So please, if you can make it, I'll be there. And I believe it's important that we do those things and understand what we are part of. So this morning, I actually want to start off. Some of you might know it quite well, but for some people, I just want to read a little bit from the Shofar Statement of Faith. What do we believe in? Maybe you are new here, maybe you are visiting, or maybe you've been here for a while, but you can hear my heart or the people preaching here, but sometimes it's just good to know exactly what we believe. So it's a small paragraph, it's just part of it. I just want to read it to you, so sit back and just listen, and then see if you can agree with that. In short, we believe that God exists and that He is nearer, grander, and more awesome than we realize. We believe that the Bible is the supreme authority and guidebook for daily living, that Jesus Christ is God, showing Himself to us completely and finally, and that the Holy Spirit is God living in and through us. We believe that mankind is sinful by nature and in desperate need of a Savior to transform him or her and his or her destiny, Lloyd. And we believe that church is the environment in which we grow in love for other people and for God. So if you want to see the rest, there's more information. You can go to Shofar online, Google it, and you'll see on our website, there's our statement of faith. Just if you maybe wonder what is our position on certain things concerning doctrine or scripture or sexuality or things like that, all those things are there. I just thought I'll throw out something. Now, you know, and I'm saying this with humility, but it's always wonderful when there's something in your heart and it gets confirmed. Let's go back to me and my wife again, if you don't mind. You know, when I took her home after a while, you know, it's nice when your dad says, buy a ring, you know, that's nice. Then you know, dad believes in what you are going to do here. if he says wait a little bit, young people, please listen to that advice and trust that God will speak to your parents to you. Okay? But bottom line is, yeah, bottom line. What was that now? The point I was wanting to, oh, that's what I want to say. Sorry for that. Is that, you know, when you want to make a decision and your wife or husband or boss or someone says, I agree with that, then you know, amen, I'm going in the right place. Okay? So last week, preaching something I felt was on my heart, and you know, I got so much confirmation in many ways that it's where we are standing close to the Lord Jesus at this stage. Okay? So it was funny, in the whole week I battled with, what next? Okay, Lord, what next? And I tried from this angle and that angle and this one. And then eventually, you know, I just felt the Lord said, just continue with where you stopped last time. Okay? And then that's where I believe what we should go to. I preached last Sunday, and maybe I'll share it a bit later on. We went for intercession. We went to pray somewhere this week. And, you know, I think me and David got good confirmation that we were at the right place and that the devil doesn't like where we were. You know, I want to encourage any one of you guys, Tuesday morning, 6:15, come to intercession. It's a bit of a commitment to come that time, but please try, and if you want to, if it's on your heart, come and see. That's, I always believe and see it as the engine room of church. You know, many times that's where God shows us pictures, give us a scripture, or just talks through his people. So, for those of you who were still enjoying the long weekend last time, I preached a little bit on Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 20, but of warfare, but what is Paul was writing on there. And I started off with, I'm just going to recap fastly, quickly, Ephesians 4 verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then I went on to say, but listen, we can see here, he's writing that in chapter 4, and then in chapter 6, he's saying, listen, it's gonna be a tough road you're gonna walk. It's not that easy. You're gonna definitely get some mud or blood on your face in between. And I know many times as Christians, you know, and I used a quote from Pastor Fred that he said, you know, when you cross that line and you come into the kingdom, you know, the fight continues. It's not like now you can sit back, relax, everything is at peace or at rest. There's a fight still going on. So I believe I just wanna go on a little bit and I just want to say to you, I believe it's important for us to be undercover right now, to have that armor on, that which I'm not going to focus on, but which I preached on last time, that you can be safe. You know, when we think we can walk this road on our own, you're gonna get a problem. I can promise you that. That's why there's church, there's small group, there's places of fellowship, and that's why I asked Maritza also to testify this morning on how God blessed them. You know, and I know she and Mia, every they went to walk together, and it's not about them. They pray for their small group. And that is why you see something happen. And I believe through prayer, through being undercover, having the armor on, this is the things that we should focus on. This is the things that is important to us. And you know, we can't fight this fight just by walking and hope we're doing the right thing. We must. That's why I said the Holy Spirit is so important, that we receive the words, and I believe the words we had this morning will definitely minister to many of our hearts, because that's what God wants to say to us this morning. I'm quickly going to read Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 18 to you, but this morning I'm just going to minister on verse 14 to 17. I just mentioned those last time, but this today I feel we need to dig into that a little bit. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Okay? We dealt with that last time and with a few other scriptures, a few other ideas. And last time, I just mentioned verse 14 to 17. I just said what it is, those tools, basically, that Jesus gives to His church, that He gives to us. But this morning, and that's why I said, you know, I wanted to go this way, that way, and I feel the Lord just stopped me and said, no, go on in here, okay? Because we saw a few things in context now, and now it's like almost, there's, young man, there's your gun now, how do you use it? What's in there? How does it work? And that is the things I want to talk about a little bit. I want to start off with a quote from Hans Hübner. He's a German scholar, theologian, a learned man. And you know, there are so many of these, but this is not one on Google. This is a credible one because it's really what he believes. And it says the following. A belief in the devil has lost its plausibility. Whoever today still feels threatened by the devil or believes in his fangs is probably in the fangs of a fanatical sect. Friends, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is, according to him, if we were to believe him, we are fanatical, you're probably in a sect, and you know, you're one of those spooky, creepy Christian people, okay? But the other side is the good news. I can tell you today, this is a lie, okay? This is heresy. This is wrong, okay? Because this is not what the Bible teaches us. This is not what Paul and Peter and the apostles are writing down for the church way back and for us right now. These things are relevant, okay? And after last time, I just invited a few people, and I remember a few ladies came, and I just showed them a few things about the supernatural on the dark side. And those things are so real. One day when our friend Marius Lange is here again, you can ask him. Ask him about his testimony. Ask him about the things he has experienced and seen. And then you will see this is a lie. This is not the truth. If you don't believe in the devil, I don't say worship him or praise him. If you don't believe in the existence of the devil, you already got you. Okay? Because that's a lie. Scripture says we must be aware of him. We must be vigilant. Okay? Now, one of my favorite theologians, Clinton Arnold, he made another statement just to almost summarize what this whole passage in Ephesians is about. And he said, the goal of depending on the power of God is to resist the varied attacks of the evil one and to advance the kingdom of God into the world. Okay, so I told you guys last time, you know, there's a place Paul uses this word stand four times. Okay, but it's about we can stand, we can resist, but there's also a place where we're going to make war. Okay, and that is what we were doing this past week at intercession. We weren't swinging our fingers and telling the devil dirty names or stuff. We were just saying to him, listen, we claim this ground. This is ours. You know, and maybe I'll testify a little bit on that. When we met here the early morning, you know, I showed one of the people how much to position myself. We were standing there at a small hall, and I was showing the one person where we are going to pray, where I felt in my heart we should go pray. Now, the funny thing was, about a year ago, maybe a year or more, I was once working on a sermon, and I was praying, and I just saw this picture of this specific place in Windhoek, but I didn't know exactly what does it mean, what is it for, and I just kind of put it there on the file, you know. And then that morning, when I showed David, listen, we should go pray there. You know, it was in a direct line, in line with the church. You know, so if it was there, it was just up there. And that moment I showed him, I clicked that place where we need to go pray, where I felt a long time ago the Lord said we should go pray, it was just over, like I'm standing here and the school is the bottom of that speaker. You know, and I just thought, I just knew there's something to it. That's why I know we should be here. It's like we must speak over this place, this place we call church, okay? Monday morning it's school, now it's church. This is where the believers come together, okay? And that was really significant to me. I just felt something in my heart witness. You know, we spoke in our small group the past week about, you know, hearing God's voice and just making sure when is He speaking or not. And that was just one of those moments I just felt here, this is something. This is something you should take note of. So, we know the devil is using strategies and many things to attack us and make us fall and to get us hurt and things like that. So let's continue a little bit and I just want to, as I said, dig a bit into verse 14 and 17 and just see in those three verses, because they are loaded. It's not just one or two, it's not a story, there's a lot of substance in this. And you know, friends, this is not some academic information about research or something. It's the Apostle Paul talking here to the church, okay? And he knew what he was talking about. So this is something we should take note of. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So the first thing that Paul says, listen, put on the belt of truth. Now, if you study this passage, a few verses, you'll see this Paul drew extensively from Isaiah to get many of these pictures. Many of these pictures, because what he was writing here, you know, there wasn't, I could go back to the New Testament, but he couldn't. He had the Old Testament as reference. So he drew a lot on Isaiah, and we'll see here in Isaiah 11, 15, it says, righteousness shall be the belt of the waist, and faithfulness the belt of the loins. So we can almost say, stand by strapping on the truth, okay? We are people of the truth. We believe in the truth. We stand for the truth, okay? And in our books, there isn't something like white lies. There's right and there's wrong. There's no more this type of lying, okay? And when you're not a believer, I remember at school so many times, I was in a boys' school, 50% of the stuff the guys told was lies, especially when teachers asked him, why are you late? Who broke this thing? Oh, I don't know. That type of thing. There were so many lies, and so many people, I think, can't even distinguish anymore properly about the honest truth and about something that's just close to the truth. And that's something we should take note of. So Paul is saying here, stand, you know, and the truth, it's something you strap on you. It's something that's going to guide you. And if he says that, that means there's importance for us believers, individuals, and the church. Okay, he's not just trying to write something to us to get the book full. He's a practical guy. All these letters weren't there to just actually give us theology. It was advice for people like us. Okay? So he said, because Paul was deeply concerned, you know, about all these various strategies and attacks that we face daily. You know, he was concerned about that because he knew, and we knew today, that if the devil, one of his biggest tricks, friends, is to redefine something. I've mentioned it once or twice just because it's such an alarming example. Who of you have heard about Rob Bell? A few of you have heard about him, I know. Okay, pastor of a big church in America. And then, you know, his theology definitely went down the slippery slope. He got to a place where he was defining, you know, the gospel and how to get saved, and crucial words like sin and things like that was missing, okay, which is wrong. So if I was standing here this morning and I was talking about sin and I'm saying, but you know, guys, God is a God of grace. So if you were to tell a white lie, you know, it's fine. Then I'm redefining something and I'm saying to you something that is not the truth. Okay, it's like something that if I were to say, well, church isn't important anymore today. You know, 2,000 years ago when scripture was written, you know, it was really important because of the context and all those type of things. You know, then I'm trying to redefine something which is not the truth. Okay, we know what God's plan is with the church, and many of these things, sin, those type of stuff, it's not stuff that has changed from when Paul or Peter or the Apostle James or someone wrote it to us. It's the same. What was wrong then is wrong right now. And many times you will hear people sharing their theology with us. And then they will say, but you know, praying in tongues or those type of things, it was just for the early church. It's not really a big deal now. You don't need it. Okay? And then we have to go back to the absolute truth, which is Scripture. And see, what does God say about this? So, these are the type of things he's talking here. This is the first of six things he says to us. The truth. So, friends, put on the truth. We need to see the next six things that I'm going to share. We need to see this through something a bit earlier on that Paul was writing. Here in Ephesians 4:24, he says, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. One of the biggest tips that I can share with you, and that Paul was sharing with us, is the fact that we are born again, that we became new people in Jesus Christ, okay? Because if you say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, or I don't believe in God, I almost want to say, if you are lost this morning, or anyone outside there, you know, these things that I'm sharing is going to mean nothing to you, because truth and righteousness and the gospel, that we should put on our feet, things like that, the sword of the Spirit, if you say, yeah, well, the Word of God is just a nice history book, you know, it's not going to help you. It's not going to be to your benefit. So we should see this in the context of being born again, of being spirit-filled. Okay, I'm just going to read just now to you a little bit, just what we believe, according to Scripture, about the Holy Spirit and His work. But before I do that, let's just look at the second part of Ephesians 6, verse 14. It says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay? The breastplate is something that the warriors, the Roman soldiers, put on to protect them. Because when they go to war, they needed a shield and they needed a helmet and things like that. So he uses this imagery of a soldier going to war. Okay? And the thing that we need to hear and understand this morning is that, you know, we're not going to walk here with a physical sword and with a breastplate from leather or whatever metal it was made those days. We have different armor. We've got a different armor that we use today. We should know that the righteousness of God is a gift that we get by grace. It's something special. You know, we come to salvation. It's a free gift that God gives to us through His Son, through us believing in Him. You know, and the thing, what I'm sharing now is stuff that most of us know quite well, you know. But when we go out, and many times you're in a tough spot, or, you know, sometimes we just don't know exactly. You know, I was preaching the sermon last week, and I heard a few of you guys, your testimonies about what's going on. Me and David went out, and we felt we get opposition when we prayed. Yesterday morning, me and Maritza woke up, and she had a migraine. You know, now it's like, okay, God, is this now the devil trying to do something? Is the armor, is there a hole in our armor? What is wrong here? Okay, etc. So we should have a wonderful appreciation, you know, especially those of you and for myself that has known the Lord for quite a few years, that we should appreciate how special the righteousness is, you know, because if we were to stand before the Father, and I can't say that we're looking in the eye, I don't know how it's going to be, but that then your righteousness, then we will know the full value of how blessed it is to be reconciled to the Father. Ephesians 6 verse 15, the next one. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now this is a preparation that we need to make. You know, I remember when I was a young believer, I had a part of the puzzle, but I couldn't put everything together that well. You know, like if someone were to ask me, but how does this part fit in or that, you know, I would have to say, I'm not exactly sure, you know, I'm going to have to go and check. But the thing is, if he says put on the gospel, you know, with feet, something we move with, something we go forward, this is the part where I said, then you go, we go, we make war. This is not like a protecting part. This is the part we go out, you know. Because when we preach the gospel, you know, there's a fight. Hello, Harry. There's a fight and there's a war. And the gospel of Jesus Christ does damage to the gospel or to the kingdom of darkness, okay? When you will see many times, if you can go look at it, Reinhard Bonnke or those big evangelists, when they preach and massive amounts of people, you know, get born again, get out of darkness, you know, that's the power of the gospel. So this is one of those important things, and Paul is quoting here from Isaiah 52 verse 7, and I want to read that to you. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah is such a poetic, beautiful part of scripture, especially if you read it in the New King James Version. It's beautiful, you know, and here we can just see that. And it talks about, but this is also a prophecy. And this is the amazing thing about the integrity of scripture. How we can see what was prophesied back then by Isaiah, Paul wrote it, and it's for us today. We still see the gospel work. We still see these things happen, okay? And I trust that it must just happen more and more among us. Believers, we are called to preach the gospel. We should be ready in season and out of season. So friends, young people, go and study scripture. Make sure you understand how these things work, okay? Because this is part of the armor. This is part of being the soldier, where you can put something on and you can go. You never know at the airport, at school, work, wherever. Someone will come to you and there will be an open door and then you must preach it. Then you can't say, but my small group facilitator or my elder or my pastor, I'll phone him quickly, you speak to him. That's how I always felt. You know, because I was grew up and I always listened to Pastor Sias, and he just, in my eyes, he just knew everything, you know. But as we grow, we understand these things for ourselves. And that is important. Another quote from Clinton Arnold, it said, spiritual warfare is the solution to human warfare. Okay? If a nation fights against a nation in the flesh, they can only be losers. No one is ever going to win a war and make a friend. I mean, look at many nations around the world, many groups of people. They've been fighting each other forever, especially in the Middle East. And then they win a little bit, and then the other guys win a little bit. But by messing up another guy's country, you're not going to make a friend, you know. And we see that principle at work. When the USA or Britain or those guys go into Afghanistan or stuff, they make some progress, but they don't make a mass friend. You know, there's always this tension. So whenever we want something done, rather fight in the spirit and pray. That is the foundation. That's not, I said last time, that is not the seventh weapon. That is the foundation. To pray, to pray, to pray. Ephesians 6, verse 16, the fourth weapon. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Okay, so we know there are flaming darts that is aimed for us. It's aimed at our hearts, our marriages, our minds, where we work, whatever. Okay, we know from Scripture that a shield is there for protection. In Genesis 15 verse 1, we see, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Okay, so we know when Paul is writing and saying to us, listen, take that shield of faith. Okay, that means we need to hold it up and protect it. You all know what a shield looks like. Watch those Braveheart movies and all those things, and you'll see many shields and what an important part in the weaponry that was. Now, the interesting thing is, in all Christian doctrine, even in Judaism, in all the literature of Judaism, there's never association made about faith and the shield. Yes, between a shield and protection and things like that, but not between a shield and faith. Okay? So, I'm making that point. It's something I stumbled upon while I was studying. But the interesting thing is, remember Paul was writing this, nah, to tell his sheep, to tell them something, okay? And he was so creative. He was so creative in using metaphors and giving people pictures of how these things work. So he said, use that shield of faith. Okay, and that's just a place where we say, I put my confidence, I put my faith and my trust in God. Okay, that as I'm fighting this war, I will not get hurt. Okay, I will be protected because my faith will flow out and be almost like a shield that protects from those flaming darts that the enemy is shooting at us. Those fiery darts can represent many things. And I know that you know. I don't have to tell you what those dots are. Because we all know too well. Because there's not a person sitting here and you can say the devil has never come for you. Never. All of us know that. Evil thoughts, accusation, guilt, false teaching, demonic attacks through sickness and dreams, lust, rebellion, fear. Those are the things that is aimed right at us, you know. I was listening the other day at a wedding, you know, and the person doing the ceremony, I just enjoyed his example. He said to the husband and wife, whenever someone comes, you know, and tell you something about what the other person did, always give your marriage partner the benefit of the doubt. Never go to your, in my case, to my wife and say, but listen, why did you do this or that? First go to the person you have covenant relationship with and ask him or her, listen, I heard this thing, is it true? And most probably, I believe and trust, it will be a lie. Something to steal, kill and destroy in your marriage. And that was such a beautiful picture of just believing in each other and trusting each other. These are things that we all know. These are things that can do so much damage. Many times when you were not awake and one of these arrows hit you, I mean, I'm sure many of you will agree with me because I had this in my own life. I had to say, go to God and say, Lord, I missed you. I failed you. I've sinned now. I got something wrong. Why did I think this? Why did I say this? Why wasn't I ready to fight this thing and to stop it right there? Where was my shield of faith? Okay, and then we go to God and we repent and we say sorry and praise God for His goodness. He will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. Okay, but it's better to be proactive and to see that thing coming and saying, listen, this is the tools. This is my toolbox. This is what we have in Jesus Christ. The resources that we have in Jesus Christ to fight this fight. Ephesians 6 verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. That's once again from Isaiah 59:17. It says, and the helmet of salvation on his head. Okay. Our salvation is so important. I actually already made this point. You know, many times we know it and you've been living maybe as a born-again Christian for 2 years or 10 or 20 or how many years. Okay. I wanted to say something and I remember what I wanted to say. If I can use David's testimony this morning. That breaking into his house, you know, had all the potential to do damage between his relationship and with Jesus Christ or God. He did nothing wrong, okay? But what if he caught that guy while he was still in anger with his pants on? Huh? There's a perfect table set for trouble, moeilijkheid. Nah, moeilijkheid. And that stuff, we need to, someone breaks into your house and now you wanna sort that guy out, or someone bumps your car, or something happens at work, and now the table is set for darts to fly all around. It's not from our hearts, it's not from our spirits, but you know, the devil knows. If he can make David, which is the elder of church, kick a guy's butt there on his farm, it makes a very good story. Okay, and then people can say, but ooh, are you Christ-like, and see what you have done now? That's the devil, that's his tricks, you know. So I want to tell you, I want to especially tell you this morning, I'm not against the social networks. I'm definitely not. My personality is just, I'm not using Facebook and those stuff that much, okay. But be careful, I've got a suspicion, there's a lot of adultery and stuff happening there. Because of seeing old flames and old friends and girlfriends and stuff. Because you can cheat, you know, in a sense. And if you don't share some of the stuff publicly, no one will know, in a sense. But the thing is said, now you see that person again. It's just something in my heart and stuff that I just feel, you know, now you go Google your ex-girlfriend or something, and you see that person again, and you think about what has been maybe 5 or 3 years ago between you, and maybe you just want to say, hi, you still look good, or whatever. No, I'm serious. I think, I'm talking to the converted this morning, you know, but I think in people that has not got the truth around their waist, there's a massive open door for a lot of bad things, to potential bad things. So I'm not saying it's wrong or bad. It can be a blessing. I mean, other day I opened Facebook or my CD email and I saw Pastor Fred's dad passed away. And immediately I had the opportunity to get that information and write him a mail and say, well, I'm really sorry and stuff like that. We can definitely use it for good things as well. That's why I'm not saying it's wrong. There's just an open door for trouble. So just be careful. Am I preaching that long? Is Kiddies Church finished? I hope not so. So, friends, the helmet of salvation is really precious. Can I just tell you once again, just to throw it out there, what is our position in Shofar concerning the work of the Holy Spirit? Can I read it to you? We believe that all who repent of their sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith are born again of the Holy Spirit and thereby become children of God. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowering and equipping believers for service with the accompanying supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying that some of you might hear what we believe, and that if you want to, you can go and test it against Scripture. Is it biblical? Or what we stand for as a church, is that the truth? Does it witness in your heart? What we saw this morning was gifts of the Holy Spirit operating. Someone brought a word to the church. And that's valuable. That's precious. You know? And I just have to... I read something, and it says that in the research done in America, because it's tough to do those things here in our country sometimes, but you know, they say the average American pastor preaches only through about 2% of the Bible in a year. Now, the Bible is quite extensive, but we need to preach Scripture, and that's something I love, and that's part of that first love that I spoke to you about. So while I was working on this, I just got in my heart, and I'm sharing it that maybe it can mean something to you guys about God, how God is talking to us. I just got a picture about a story in Acts about just someone seeing what was happening in the spiritual realm and how special it was. Can I read you Acts 18:8 from verse 14 to 20? Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And this is the point I want to make. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone whom I lay hands upon may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought that you could obtain the gift of God with money. That was just the Holy Spirit showing me something there. Now why would something or someone offer money to the apostles for what was happening there? He wanted it. He wanted that power. He saw something happening there, and it was something blessed. You know, and you see, friends, what we have in our hearts. That's why I'm saying it's so precious. Money can't buy it. You know, Lloyd, if I can use you as example, you can't say, God, I'm going to give you $50. Please give me a word for the church. It won't work. Okay? This is something we have. We've been filled with the Spirit. And it's precious. And that's for saints. It's for free. It's through His grace. But we need to believe in Jesus Christ. And this example I thought I'll just share with you about when He says put on the helmet of salvation. I think it's on your head. Because to protect your mind, that our salvation can protect us against especially those darts, those flaming darts that comes from our minds. Because so many people are so deceived today, and they've got something from New Age and a bit of Hindu this and a bit of Christian that, and they believe they're working out their own salvation. But it's a lie. Scripture is Scripture, full stop. The last point I'm going to make, or the second last one I'm going to make, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I guess I don't have to say too much on that. The Bible, that's our tool. That's our sword. The sword is one of your major weapons that you engage the enemy with. Okay, it's a very important tool. So Paul is not saying some of these are more important than others. But I believe the sword is very special. And Paul knew that scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We read that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1 from 21. So friends, to summarize, God is also a divine warrior, okay? If you feel something warrior-like in your heart, that's because the Father is. Go and read Isaiah. Go and read the book of Revelation, okay? If I can say it like that, there's a time. God is not going to take nonsense. I feel many times, I listen to people and the way how they justify things and stuff, I think they're going to stand one day before God and they're going to reason with Him and almost come to a place where they're going to, you know, negotiate something. But God is not for that. Okay? There's white and there's black and there's an absolute right and an absolute truth. Okay? And that's what Jesus said. You know, not everyone that calls me on my name, etc., you know, I need to know you. I need to have relationship with you. So friends, as I said there in Ephesians 4:24, one of the biggest things in this spiritual war, in this fight we're facing, we're having, is that we must remember the fact that we are made new. Let me read it to you again. Ephesians 4:24. To put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. You know, there's a new self. And we are made in the image of God. Okay? And this relationship we have with Jesus, okay, that is that's the joker, or that's the jackpot, or that's the most important thing that we should all know. It's not, you can phone me if there's a problem, but you know, I've got maybe a bit more authority because of structure and stuff like that, but what I have, you have. All of us. Okay? And at your own home, you can go there, you can anoint your home. You can do warfare there. You can say, Lord, I put on this armor. I pray for my kids. They are going to sleep well tonight. Lord, over these four corners of my plot or property or whatever, I declare, your light is shining here. Your presence is going to be here. You are the strong man then. And as I said, you can anytime phone me or the elders, or if you feel we need to pray with you, but we've got the same Holy Spirit that you have. Okay, so go and do those things. Many times, Christians get to a place where they just get like turning the cheek and receiving a slap and another one, but there's places where you just say, I'm not taking this, okay? Now, I'm going to say this because me and David feel it's, you know, when after we finished praying there on that hill, 7 o'clock in the morning, okay, I just said to the people there, I feel I should pray the armor over us. We did now proclaiming, we prayed over our church, we prayed for you guys, we prayed for these neighborhoods, okay? And we put on the armor. And we greeted each other, and my car was maybe a meter or 2 meters away, parked from David's. And I just was opening the lock, and I just heard a noise or sound of something clinging. And I thought maybe David has a bucky, maybe it's like a jerry can or something that fell over. And the moment I heard David say, what was this? Or who was that? You know? And then there was a rock the size of my hand, David. And someone or something threw us with that rock. There was no one standing there. There's no one walking there. And I tell you this morning, I don't know where it comes from. But I heard it and David heard it. And something happened there. And I believe if that thing were to hit a window or him or me, it would have done damage. Okay? So that's why we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, to put on that armor. And that, I trust with all my heart, I knew that was something supernatural happening there. I phoned him later that day, 12 o'clock, and I said to him, David, what happened there? And he said, and our hearts were together. We felt the same thing. So no matter what happened there, you know, I'm doing warfare by just telling you guys that. Because you could say you're out of your mind, Pastor, or you're spooky or what. Okay? I heard that thing. I saw that thing. Both of us. Okay? So you must remember, sometimes we are saying things to you. Sometimes we are saying things in the Spirit. Okay? And because we stand up, we know we will attract a few darts. Okay? So I want to say to you, devil is not your buddy. Don't go play games and stuff. Make sure you know what you do when you go and pray, okay? Make sure you're safe. Agree with someone. Anoint yourself. Do stuff like that. very, very last point. Just advice from Pastor Peter. Okay, Peter from Scripture. He was also a pastor, practical man. You know, he knew the Old Testament. He used it a lot. He knew Scripture. He understand things. And he was an apostle, but he was also a pastor. And I say it specifically, he was a practical guy. He talked about practical things. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, you know that scripture. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that's where I'm going to stop this morning. That's why Peter is saying, listen friends, I'm not trying to be spooky or this or that. That devil is walking around. Many different translations say, be sober, be vigilant, be self-controlled, keep a cool head, stay alert, all those things. And then, because the devil is walking around like a hungry lion. And we all know the picture of a hungry lion, he's going to take something for him to eat. If you are the weakest link, if you aren't undercover, if you aren't protected. So this morning, you know, we're not trying to make dust or to say spooky stuff or what. It's just like, I sense, we sense, okay? There's a fight, make sure you're covered, make sure you are safe. Can we stand, please, this morning?